Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up? Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast presented by PointsBet. Use code CHGO to live your bet life and earn up to $2,000 in free bets. What's going on, Bears fans? Adam Hoge, Nicholas Moriano with you. Bears minicamp is over. The sign behind Nick says vacation time. For you.
Yes. Yeah, it's about time.
For you.
Vacation time, back in the sun, though. So right back into warm weather, being Punta Cana next week. So we ended we ended minicamp. Thursday was a quicker one, too, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was because it was actually cooler today, but weirdly felt hotter almost out there. I think because there was less of a breeze. But now I'm feeling a breeze, so I don't know. They're blocking the wind there. I'm not sure.
Who knows? There was a portion when the special teams were going up and kind of doing their thing. I actually went off into the shade where they kept the water bottles at there, Adam. And then Kevin Fishman's like, veteran move, Nick. You know, you have your colleague Adam Hoge out there. You know, he's going to watch all the special teams, so you can come over here, cool off. I'm like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yep. So, veteran moves.
I pay attention to the special teams, so you don't have to.
There you go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome in. Quicker day at Bears minicamp today. Everyone was wearing number 41, which was a very cool gesture in honor of Brian Piccolo, and made it very hard for us to analyze what was going on in practice because every play was number 41 throwing the ball to number 41. So 41 had a good day, I do have to say. But, it was a great gesture by the Bears and Matt Eberflus. Brian Piccolo's family was out there at practice today, and they had the whole team wear number 41 jerseys. And that part of it was cool. And you could tell that it hit home with some of the players. Velus Jones Jr. was one of the guys that talked about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So as hard as it was to – watch and consume practice, it was worth it because it was a very cool thing that the Bears did.
Yeah, and today, 52 years ago today, Brian Piccolo passed, and that's why the Bears were honoring him with all wearing 41. And it was like, so we got told that there would be a different uniform today, and I'm like, maybe they're, I didn't know what to expect. But when I went out there to take a picture, I'm like, it did make it difficult. Like, honestly, Nathan Peterman and Trevor Siemian wear 15 and 14 usually, and they're kind of hard to distinguish when you're watching them, you know, just on a regular day. Today, it's like, I know the twos are up, so it's, you know, Siemian, but man, if I didn't know that, then they're essentially the same person.
There was even a nice play that Darnell Mooney made in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
That I had to be like, who is that? And then it was actually the shorts that I recognized. And I was like, okay, that was Mooney. And it was you call it a risky throw by Justin Fields into traffic into the back of the end zone, but he connected with Darnell Mooney. And it's, you know, for all this conversation about can Darnell Mooney be a number one wide receiver, that was a number one type play.
Yeah, it was in traffic. He had to kind of go up and get it. And, you know, I distinguished him because I think he wore the sleeveless hoodies that they wear. And anybody who does that in this weather, like, you are – yeah, you're a little crazy, but that's how I knew, like, okay, that's Darnell Mooney. I'll remember that. But yeah, that was a hell of a play that he made.
Yeah. The one guy that there was no question that I knew who he was Chase Allen, the rookie tight end out of Iowa State, because he's got the hair.
He's got the flow.
He is a player, though, that could probably qualify for Bear or not a Bear.
Yeah.
Which is hard to play today with the numbers all being 41.
Yeah. Honestly, Valus Jones Jr. also stood out. So when we were watching, especially, I'm like, I know that's Valus. And you can easily tell Justin Fields, even with the 41, the orange 41. But there were some wide receivers like, ooh, you can be 1, 2, 3, X, Y, Z. I don't know. So it did make it a little tough, but kept us on our toes, I would say.
I would I kind of regretted not asking Matt Eberflus after practice how hard it was going to be to evaluate the tape today.
Honestly, like, oh, was that you? No, I didn't screw up on that play. You know, maybe that could happen, especially with this practice.
I mean, they have it broken down, I'm sure, of like who's on each team. So they know based on the quarterback or the personnel who's on the field. But I guarantee it'll still slow things down just a little bit as they go through and they do their hits philosophy measurements for practice today. Cool. So look, it was a shorter practice. They did a lot of red zone stuff, low red zone, high red zone, little bit of a game type simulation. But other than that, they wrapped up and they're going on a what's essentially like a 5-week break, I think, before training camp starts up. And I guess to me, the biggest takeaway sort of the last 2 weeks is Braxton Jones, the rookie 5th-round pick who, you know, everyone understandably, and we did it too, like talked more about, hey, what does this mean for Tevin Jenkins? And then I jokingly declared Braxton Jones the greatest draft pick in the history of the Chicago Bears, like kind of optimistically being like, well, hey, wait a minute. Like, what if this is the real reason why Tevin Jenkins got now? It's realistically probably both. But I have to say, so we got a chance to talk to Braxton Jones today. He stayed in that same spot as the number one left tackle all 3 days last week too. And we got to see practice during OTAs, and he impressed me a little bit in his press conference today. Like just talked a little bit about some specific things that he's done to improve, which is obviously working. Cause you know, he got that bump up to number one team. He admitted he's a little bit surprised that he's getting this opportunity so quickly, which is fair as a 5th-round pick. And then he talked a little bit about the challenge of what it's going to be when training camp starts, because that's going to be a different animal, right? You know, they put him in a position to elevate to this spot, get a sense for the speed of the game, but it all goes up a notch when the pads come out.
It definitely does. But yeah, Braxton Jones is very well spoken. Like even after he left the presser, he's like, hey, everybody enjoy your weekends. And just, you know, just seems like a really nice guy, but he also can block the crap out of you being as big as he is. And what Chris Morgan told him that he needs to do, because, you know, with the demeanor, he said he was a little bit reserved. So Chris Morgan said, throw them babies, which means throw his hands, his 35-inch arms at these, you know, pass rushers to kind of, you know, stall the pass rush so you can help recover. And that's one of the things that he said he's been working on. And another thing, Braxton Jones being a rookie and just being around Fields more now that he's had the opportunity to be with the first team, you know, what do you do? He asked Justin Fields, like, what do you do after the practice? What's kind of like the routine that you go into? So kind of getting just an idea of how Fields is approaching, you know, this opportunity to start. Like, what do you need to do? Watch film, all these things. So Braxton Jones is doing all the right things. And now he'll kind of get this time away to reflect on what he's done so far. But like you said, Adam, now you're going to have pads on. You're going to be going up against potentially better pass rushers if Robert Quinn, Al-Quandi Muhammad show up. And you can see what he's capable of doing, because Matt Eberflus also talked about that. Like the guys that he saw in this this mini camp, these OTAs, looking forward to seeing what those guys can do now with a step up in competition.
Well, like the one thing you could say about Braxton Jones is, you know, on one side you have the jump up in competition and making, you know, a big jump up from Southern Utah, but at the same time, now he's getting NFL coaching, right? So he checked a lot of boxes in terms of the athlete. You know, he tested off the charts and some of those athletic scores. And just seeing him both on the practice field and even just when he walked in and out of the press conference room today, Nick, like, he looks the part of an NFL left tackle. And so, you know, you can have fair concerns about jumping up in competition. And look, whatever he's done to this point that's been good, great. But now you got to do it when the pads go on. And maybe Robert Quinn will be there. And that's a different animal when you see that one-on-one type matchup. But he's also getting a step up in coaching. And, you know, just hearing like that little thing about throw them babies, throw those hands. Obviously, it's something he took to and started. Look, his length is off the charts. Use it. So, you know, if he got to this point without even really using his talent and those coaches are bringing more out of that, then that's a suggestion that, hey, maybe you can make this jump relatively quickly. If nothing else, this is qualified to me as one of the bigger stories going into August.
Right? It definitely has.
Like, can Braxton Jones hold on to this opportunity? Because I'm convinced that from what we've seen here the last couple weeks, this is probably the starting five that you're going to see when camp opens, right? Like, I'd be surprised if all of a sudden camp opens and it's a different offensive line combination. And honestly, if that happens, I'll question it because it feels like Braxton Jones has taken advantage of this opportunity at this point.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like it almost feels like it's his job to lose at this point. Even though we've seen it without pads, Braxton Jones, I think, is showing this coaching staff what he's capable of now that he does have this NFL coaching. But I think Tevin Jenkins will actually be the starting right tackle when we open up training camp. I know they said they had the 6 days of evaluation with this combination, and then the previous was with Tevin Jenkins. But I'm going to go out on a limb. You say it's going to be Borum that starts training camp. I'll go with Jenkins being the right tackle, but.
Why do you think that? I'm just kidding. Like, did you think Borum was struggling?
No, not that he was struggling, but they both had the beginning. It was Jenkins, right, being the starter. So they had that evaluation, and then you had this evaluation. And I wonder if there's going to be some kind of, I don't know if it's internal pressure, but like, that's a second round draft pick. Have they showed us anything at this point without pads to say that he can't do the job? Obviously, we've had a couple plays where. Carson Taylor, right? Is beating him to the outside and is making a good play on Jenkins, but it is different with the pads on. So I think they'll give him the first opportunity there, and then maybe we see a fluctuation. But that's what I'm kind of thinking.
Well, look, I don't think the door's closed on that. I just think that, you know, they're obviously trying to motivate Jenkins a little bit right here, send him some type of message. And you got to do something to earn that spot back. So I don't know that, okay, you're off for 5 weeks. Now all of a sudden you throw him in there. What you're exactly rewarding. Maybe the more likely scenario I could see is if either Borum or Jenkins ends up at right guard. And I feel like if I had to make, and I don't even think this is that bold of a prediction, but to make an offensive line prediction right now for training camp, is I feel like we will see one or both of those guys see some time at right guard during camp and maybe in the preseason games too.
I can see that. I guess that would also tell you what the Bears think of like a Sam Mustipher, right? Just even though he has been primarily being with the ones, the first team unit, he is extremely undersized. To actually play that right guard position if the Bears were to go with that that lineup there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting come the first starting line. And let's see, honestly, day by day or drill by drill, how often these linemen are in and out of, you know, these drills. And, like, this past week, we had a bunch of different line combinations for a bunch of different reasons. But that is something to definitely keep an eye on.
Well, and – you know, I think in talking to Braxton Jones today, it gave me a little bit of a better idea because one of the things I've talked about is, you know, without pads, and with the exception of a handful of rushes that you could probably see every day where you're like, okay, that's a win pads, you know, with or without pads, or that's a loss, or you got really beat regardless. I was just kind of curious, like, what they could possibly be judging to make such a move to not only throw, like, if Jenkins is struggling, it's one thing to move him to the second team, but I was just surprised that, like, you're bumping up Braxton Jones all the way to the first. Like, it just doesn't happen a lot to see any rookie, but mm-hmm. certainly a fifth round pick all of a sudden, you know, by the end of June, be there with the first team. And the only answer I could keep coming up with was, like, this guy must be crushing it, like, off the practice field too. Like, he must be understanding the concepts. He must be, you know, adapting to whatever new techniques that Chris Morgan's throwing at him. And I think, you know, you heard him today. He certainly seems like an intelligent offensive lineman who's putting in all the work. To hear him talk about how he was like, he took Justin Fields aside and was like, hey, what are you doing when you leave the building at home to get ready for the next day? And Fields walked him through how he, you know, he works on the installs, works on the playbook, takes a little bit of a mental break, some time to himself, and then he comes back and makes sure that everything's ready for the next day. You know, that shows that type of want to that you need at that position. And I guess, like, that's my biggest takeaway coming out of the offseason program right now is there's a huge opportunity for Braxton Jones that I am taking way more seriously right now than I did, you know, a couple weeks ago, of him actually being the team's starting left tackle when the season starts, with the obvious but. You got to pass the test when the pads come out, and that is a totally different animal.
Yeah, like, this portion of the offseason, right, these OTAs without any pads, I think it's fair to say that if you are more athletic, can get off the ball quicker, off the line of scrimmage, like, you're probably going to show some things that are not necessarily – or that will be good in your favor. And if Braxton Jones is showing that stuff, because, like you said, he's not getting, like, a bull rush from Roquan Smith, right? That's not happening at this portion of these OTAs, these mini camps. So now, because he could show that, you know, maybe he looks better than maybe what he is. We don't know if he's actually is that good. So, like you and like a lot of people I'm seeing in the comments, like, the whole new ball game, we completely agree with you, and be something to definitely monitor, because if Braxton Jones, your starting left tackle come week one, man, that's a one that shows that Ryan Poles, I think, knows what he's doing when he's evaluating these offensive linemen and how they can, you know, help his football team.
Well, and hey, that's something that we need to take seriously, because, you know, for everyone getting on Ryan Pace in the past, the one thing we've talked about is that guy knew how to construct a defensive line. He was mm-hmm. a defensive lineman. And whether it was, you know, drafting somebody like Bilal Nichols in the fifth round from a smaller school, like, that's a good comp for this situation here. Now, Bilal did take a little bit of time. He wasn't thrown in there as a starter, like, immediately. I think that's where more of the surprise here is than anything else, just how quickly this kid's working with the number one team. But yeah, I'm willing to buy the idea that Ryan Poles knows what he's doing with the offensive lineman. Like, that's what we talked about when he was hired. He's an offensive line guy. And, you know, does that mean all four of those rookies are going to really five? Are they going to all be great? I mean, probably not. But if two of them turn out to be starters, that's a huge win.
Oh, yeah, that'd be huge for, you know, the Bears moving forward, especially how young they are. If you can get some guys you can rely on later, and you obviously have your two second-round draft picks, like, that's what the Bears need to start doing. And if it can start on the offensive line because Ryan Poles has that background, good for the Bears.
And I agree with that point there, the comment from Mule on our screen right now. I love Eberflus's style. He doesn't base his lineup on veterans or high draft choice, earn the job or sit. And that is kind of a luxury the Bears have right now with this new, you know, overturned roster and so many new faces, makes it a little bit easier to do that. But yeah, it's like whoever's earning the playing time, you're going to get it. And I totally agree with that. I like that.
Yeah, Eberflus, kind of just talking about him and like the standard, like I know we've heard so much about the hits philosophy, but just the standards that are set and everything, like bring your track shoes, right? He's been saying that a lot. What does that actually look like? And it's like everything is standardized. Each part of the hits philosophy is going to be measured. And if you're not meeting that standard, you'll know about it. I forgot who it was that said their name got written on the board. And it's like, you don't want to be that player that gets their name written on the board for whatever reason it could be. So, like, I think a lot.
Oh, man. Back in grade school and they write your name.
On that board right there.
Corner
like,
of the chalkboard. They're like, these are the guys in trouble. You get blasted in front of your whole class.
Exactly. Someone, Joseph in here, no loafs. Yeah, I think. And, you know, players will have less loafs if they are able to take care of their body in the offseason or this 5-week period, because he said training camp is not where you get in shape. You come in shape to training camp and then we'll kind of go from there. I wonder, you know, how seriously players are going to take that, because obviously you have this time to do what you want. He also, the message was like, stay safe and, you know, just be aware of who you're surrounding yourself with. But I'm curious how many of these players just are going to come into this training camp, this first one for Eberflus as a head coach, and see what it's going to be about. Because like he said, get those track shoes, get ready, because it sounds like it's going to be intense.
Yeah, I have a few more thoughts on that exact thing here in a moment. But first, need to tell you the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app, use code CHGO when you sign up. And if you do that right now, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So that's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com. We'll help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better, because there's still at least one more game to take advantage of the live NBA same game parlay. You can build the perfect live NBA same game parlay only with PointsBet. You can also boost those live same game parlays. So watch live, parlay live, boost live, all with PointsBet. Download the app right now. Online sign up is available in Illinois. You download the PointsBet app, you register your account from start to finish, all right there on your phone. It's nice and easy for you. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
About to tell you about our next great partner, Athletic Greens. With one scoop of Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Bleh. To help start your day off right. The mixture of ingredients helps your immune system, gives you energy, and improves your focus, and that's why I take my Athletic Greens every morning, and you should too. What's awesome about Athletic Greens is that it costs you less than a cup of a coffee a day, and also helps support better sleep quality and recovery, which we all definitely need. I know I do. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's all you need. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOBears. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBears to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance.
All right. So you're talking about the message for Matt Eberflus and to his team. And of course there was the stuff that's, you always hear, you know, stay safe, you know, be careful who you hang out with, the stuff like that. But I did write down something you just mentioned, quote, training camp is not to get in shape. Mm-hmm. You need to be in shape when you show up. He once again gave that message about having your track shoes on and be ready to go, because they're going to hit it day one. They're going to be flying around. So you better show up in shape. And I'm pretty sure that anybody loafing or struggling early on, I'm sure there'll be a conditioning test because most teams do that. You better be ready to go. And this is nothing new. This applies for all teams. They, you know, usually do a conditioning test, make sure you weren't screwing around doing nothing during the time out off. But I do think a big difference is if Matt Eberflus and this new coaching staff follows through with everything they've been preaching about the hits philosophy and the intensity of which they're going to play in practice, that is going to add up during training camp. It's going to make the totality of training camp harder than, you know, what most of these players are used to, whether that's at the college level because they're rookies, whether that's just Bears, the few amount of Bears that are actually returning on this roster, and what they just went through under Matt Nagy. Quite frankly, actually, I almost wonder if some of these rookies might be best prepared for it, because these days college training camps are almost tougher, you know?
Yeah, for
so
sure.
They might be just fine with it. I just think that a couple things on this front that I'll be watching closely is you can usually get through the off-season program without too many injuries. As soon as those pads go on, all of a sudden it's like those trainers out there get a lot busier.
They are working.
So I think this is a good philosophy to have. I think guys will be in shape. I think the tougher they can make it, the more prepared the Bears will be for the season. But I will certainly be curious to see how the injury front works in August and how that's handled, because you just don't want to see key guys get injured before the season even starts.
Yeah, and that will be the interesting thing, Adam, because there is going to be an intensity to practice, probably going to be a lot of these hot days that we've seen in these past 3 days. And if the injuries pile up, what does this coaching set are adjustments going to be made to the intensity of practice, how they practice? Who knows? It may, hopefully that's not the case in the Bears, where, you know, injuries are happening due to the intensity and what Eberflus is expecting. But yeah, like you said, nothing new. I know Darius Leonard has commented on how intense these practices are. It's harder than games. It's harder than everything he's ever done. I know he said that before openly. So for anybody that's not familiar, this will be the first year for a lot of these guys. It's like, we're going to see it. We're going to see in the practices, and we kind of got glimpses, right? Things were fast paced. Yes, in these hot days, they take water breaks and things like that. There were shorter practices, but it's going to be exactly what he wants to do. And look, the Bears they got their practice taken away because of how they were, you know, practicing before, yeah. Right? So they're already taking true to it. And, you know, I'm curious to see what it all ends up looking like with pads, though.
Yeah, and we're at that point. So that's the fun thing. We got to wait, you know, a little bit before training camp starts to get going. But I do think that, you know, on a daily basis, it's going to be an interesting training camp to cover, not only because of, you know, the style I think that we're going to be watching, but also the amount of jobs that are open. Like, mm-hmm. Multiple spots on the offensive line. I mean, really, three of the five jobs are pretty open. Just on the offensive line, the receivers other than Darnell Mooney feel like a complete toss-up. Obviously, you know, David Montgomery is going to be starting running back, but beyond that, I mean, which running backs get worked in there, and then we'll be able to watch the run game more. We'll get a better idea of the full scheme, too, once the pads come on, and they can actually have more intense and meaningful run periods of practice as well, because like Eberflus said the other day, this really has kind of felt like a passing academy for much of the offseason.
Yeah, and so with as a defense, knowing that more of these plays that are being called are going to be heavy in the passing direction. It's like you can almost play off a little bit. You can almost cheat a little bit, right? So I think once the run game actually gets implemented, that is going to impact how these practices are going to be. So once we get to see that physicality, the actual physical part of football, that will change things. So I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to still watching those nickel cornerbacks and seeing who's there. Like right now, Thomas Graham Jr. is the guy, and he actually had a pick six today on Justin Fields because it was a deflected pass and he was able to return it. The only reason I knew that was him, Adam, is because he wears like this. I don't know why everyone has like these speed helmets now, but I can just tell like, okay, that's Thomas Graham. Not the biggest guy, got the speed helmet, pick six. But like he's fighting for a job, and that's a very important position in Matt Eberflus' defense. So really looking forward to continuing to watch that battle. But I know when we talked to James Rowe and some of the defensive assistants about a month ago now, it feels like there wasn't a front runner. I wonder if there is one now with 27 getting some of those reps. We'll have to wait and see.
He does seem to be sort of the leader in the clubhouse. And that's another example of, even though he's not a rookie anymore, the new coaching staff not being afraid to play these guys, because mm-hmm. there couldn't have been a better example of a player who the last coaching staff was afraid to play, apparently, right? Than Thomas Graham Jr., because they waited so long. Then he had a great game. And I actually sort of was willing to not defend that, how long it took him to play, but like understand that, hey, maybe his time on the practice squad actually made a big difference and was the reason. But then they didn't play him after that, really. It was like, what?
No.
Like, yeah. So that was the confusing part there. So it's good to see this coaching staff, at least in my opinion, not be afraid to play young guys. And then what I just hope continues is if they play well, if they practice well, keep them in there, keep them going, you know, and they're going to make mistakes eventually. But, you know, I think that they're going to be willing to live with some of these mistakes. I think we should play a game right now.
Ooh, I like
games. You may have heard of it. We debuted it yesterday. It's called Bear or Not a Bear. And I got one for you. You got to put your roster away, though, if it's open. Okay.
All right. I got them away. They're behind. I don't know if you can see this, Adam, but I'm throwing them.
Okay, and our listeners can play along too. CJ Avery, bear or not a bear? CJ Avery.
Crap. I know there's an AJ. There's AJ Thomas, which that is a bear. CJ Avery. Oh, damn. I should know. I'm gonna say that's a bear. That's a bear, Adam.
Yeah, but you're totally guessing. He is a bear. What? He yeah, is a bear. But a bear. You made it very clear in your answer that you were not aware of the fact that he was a bear.
I was just making sure that you knew he was a bear.
Oh, I did not know. I did not know that until I looked down at my roster right before we played Bear or Not a Bear and picked out the one name I couldn't figure out. CJ Avery, linebacker, 6 feet, 230, rookie out of Louisville, undrafted free agent, CJ Avery. So now you know.
Oh, look at this in the comments too. We have not. Nope. Bear. Okay. So we're getting a fluctuation there.
I should probably have strung it out a little bit longer so our listeners could have played. But we're going to have plenty more opportunities over in the next 5 weeks.
Like a punter's name.
Yes. Devin says that sounds like a punter's name. That would be Trenton Gill, punter. Yes,
the only punter, right? The only punter.
That is. They cut the other guy.
Mm-hmm. So one punter,
which I believe was Ryan. This was a fun thing I could never remember. Was Ryan Willis the punter or the quarterback?
Okay, there's a Ryan Winslow and there's a Ryan Willis.
Winslow was the punter. Willis was the quarterback. And then Griffin's the tight end.
Yes.
There were three Ryans and it was really hard to keep track of them. But they did get rid of the punter. They got rid of the quarterback. That's when they signed our guy, Nate Peterson. Peterman. Jesus, losing my mind. Nate Peterman.
Well, when you see all the 41s today, Adam, it's like, I don't know. I just don't know who's here.
It's like a mind trip to go out there. I'm trying to think of, was it Wisconsin? It was definitely a college program. I want to say it was Wisconsin back when I was covering them. They're like, when training camp started, they wouldn't put numbers on the jerseys. So they would open up practice to the reporters, but then you couldn't tell who anybody was. And that's then awful. That goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, doesn't that just, like, I know your coach's paranoia is always high, but like, you're just making your life harder trying to watch the film of practice when you can't see anybody's number.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard in itself sometimes. Like, oh wait, what number was that just made the play? Now nobody has numbers, making it difficult for everybody. Actually, Mule down here, Bo Peeps.
Yeah.
Bear or not a bear? Like, I think Mule knows the answer, but it's like there's some obscure names in this roster sheet that you're like, okay. Well, and I wonder if it changes come training camp, but you know what would help, Adam?
Well, wait, hang on. Not a bear. That is not a bear.
Wait, Bo Peeps? Yeah.
Bo Pete.
Oh, Bo. Wait.
I think it's Bo Pete.
Let me get my thrown roster sheet.
That's well, I don't think that's how he's listed on the roster, though.
He's not. No, it's not little. It's like 30. Oh, Bo Pete Keys. Bo Pete.
See?
You got me, Mule. Hey,
if you're going to come play bear or not a bear, you better be ready to
go. Better get it right.
Yeah.
You know what helped me, though, Adam? Here we go. You know what helped me? Focus and make sure I get all these bear or not a bear right. Strava CBD coffee, because it's a game changer. It has all these great ingredients, and it's helped thousands of people to improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava delivers delicious, fresh, roasted specialty coffee infused with organic broad-spectrum CBD. And just so you know, CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you, like feeling alert and focused without the jitters, getting all the answers right in bear or not a bear, living your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can help you enjoy more restful sleep so you wake up feeling at your best. And the best part about all of this, Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch, fresh, and shipped straight to your door. Strava also offers concentrated full-spectrum CBD tinctures for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with a powerful entourage effect of benefits. CHGO listeners can save 25% off their entire purchase when you use code CHGO25. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use the code CHGO25 at checkout. Discount coupon valid on non-subscription purchases only, one use per customer. And do you already love Strava? Subscribe and save with the Strava Coffee Club. With Strava, you are in control. Save on your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered to your home or office on your preferred schedule.
And I know technically it's not an Owen day here on the podcast, but we did need they are a great partner of our show too. And we did need to follow up because yesterday I asked you to bring me one since I missed the samples that were delivered to CHGO. I was on vacation. You brought me, you're very kind to bring me one to House Hall today. And I did enjoy it. I did enjoy the only what you need, Owen shake, the protein shake.
Salted
caramel, I think. Sea salted caramel.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So I know, don't have it on the top of my head who was asking. I think it's Brandon on Twitter. He's like, hey, did you bring the Owen? I'm like, of course I did.
Yeah.
I know there's a time I didn't bring in one of the energy drinks, so I had to make up for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I got it down. I
forget, though, that energy drink wasn't really an official sponsor, right?
No, it was just it was just
whatever that was. I felt like I was on speed. The thing was like I don't know. This is
Sour Patch with speed. Sour Patch Kids with speed.
I was like, well, okay, here we go. We're ready to go here. I like this comment from I Am Skokes. I guess we're rolling with here's the real kicker, bear or not a bear. Robert Quinn, bear or not a bear. That's kind of a different game, but I like it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a bear.
Technically right now, yes, still a bear.
How much longer?
Right.
We don't know.
It's another fun
question,
game.
Though.
And then someone, I think, was throwing out really Willie Wright, bear or not a bear. Willie Wright.
Did you look? You already looked. I know it.
No, I knew this one. I knew this one.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
I kind of gave it away there by saying I knew this one.
Yeah.
Only reason I knew that one is because he's not – he's actually – I think he's been in the league for a few years. So I don't know how much he's played, but he's not just one of these random UDFAs that's on the roster. So
have you seen the Key and Peele skit?
That legendary one with all the random names.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to come prepared. Something like that. That's not that crazy out there, like Quattro, but yeah, definitely gonna do that. That will make it interesting too.
And then they end it with Dan Smith, BYU. So good.
Oh, that's great.
All right, we have some time for some questions here before we get out of here. So anything to end the off-season program, we will be back tomorrow, by the way. We have another 1 p.m. episode to close out the week. But any questions from OTAs, throw them in the comments. We will ask them. And I know we got a couple in there already. One question is Lawrence going to make an appearance today? And the answer is I don't think so, because our guy Joey is producing today. So – but people calling for Lawrence. I like it. He's been Devin said he's been low-key.
Let's see if Lawrence is around. Let me see if I can find him.
But here already, I think they probably like you more, Joey, because you don't look like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
No. Appreciate that. I don't have the cool helmets on hand that Lawrence always seems to have. USFL stuff, but I'll work on it.
Yeah. You got the cool obvious shirt on today too, which I appreciate. One of the questions, thoughts on Charles Snowden.
He's a bear.
he is a bear. You know, I gotta say, have you noticed him a lot? Haven't.
Not 92. Sorry, it's Caleb Johnson. No, I just know him because he's just so lengthy and tall. And I feel like he's one of those guys that's trying to find his role, honestly. And I think that's obviously special teams for now, but yeah, not a lot of Charles Snowden headlines coming out of OTAs from minicamp.
Yeah. So again, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this, but like OTAs are a little bit harder to follow than training camp, even though there's like kind of a lot more happening at training, but the practices are longer at training camp and the view's a little bit better and you kind of know the right, like the drills and OTAs always are changing, and that same thing in training camp, but you kind of know like there's going to be a one-on-one pass rush period in training camp every day the pads are on. And like, you know where to be to watch those. And so it's just a little bit easier to and cause it's a day-to-day grind and things kind of build, you get a much better sense of like, okay, this guy's arrows up, this guy's kind of struggling. Choppy is the word I think I would use for the offseason program that makes it a little bit harder. So it's almost like you sort of have your list of guys you've written down for impressive plays here and there. And then I don't know. So Charles Snowden for me is just somebody I didn't notice a lot in the offseason program. Doesn't mean that he struggled. But I feel like just the fact that Dominic Robinson has popped a little bit more, is maybe a little bit more notable, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I see a question from here, Adam. Jared Perry, how was Justin in practice today, and how was his mini camp overall? Like the first day, right, we had those – it was a down day for the entire offense, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Wednesday was a good day for Justin Fields with timing, anticipation, some of the throws. And today, honestly, it was really tough to evaluate anybody. But there were some good throws. We talked about the Darnell Mooney one. He had a nice one to Komet, too, for a touchdown over in the middle of the field. And Komet just threw the ball up in the air. It was a touchdown. But like I mentioned earlier, he also had the pick six from the ball that was tipped to the line of scrimmage. So – overall, though, yeah, how would you assess Justin Fields in this passing camp that kind of Eberflus was mentioning in OTAs?
Yeah, like, and again, I don't want to just repeat myself about how things are choppy, but like, okay, first of all, encouraging sign to me is that I don't think we saw back-to-back bad days, which I've brought up before. And I think that that's an encouraging thing of Justin Fields overall so far in his young career. Then again, we didn't really get to watch back-to-back practices until this week, at least since the original April mini camp, which was before the draft even happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just want to qualify that. I think that's an encouraging thing. I think as a whole, I was anticipating the offense maybe being a little bit ahead of where they are now. But I guess I'm kind of where I have been on Justin Fields. Still have incredibly high hopes for him. I'm waiting for like just things to look a little bit smoother on a more regular basis. Consistency, right, is maybe the right word. One thing I want to point out that I'm starting, and I put in my notebook today because I kind of sense a theme this week and in some past practices we've seen. A lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. And you mentioned that one that led to an interception today. And you can't put all the blame for that on the quarterback. But you can point out that some quarterbacks are better than others at finding those passing lanes to throw to. And look, Justin has talked about before how he's watched Russell Wilson as a quarterback, former baseball player too, and just how he thinks there's some similarities between their games. And I've mentioned that like Justin Fields has the potential to be a taller Russell Wilson. And Russell is one of the best in the league at finding those passing lanes, changing his arm angle to get the ball through the line of scrimmage. So I just find it interesting because Justin is taller that has seemed to be an issue. And it might be the pass protection in front of him. It might be a really, 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 really good sign for the defensive line, right? But I still will track that going forward. Definitely in training camp, but even more so, it's more important in the games. Like, how many passes are actually getting batted down? And does Justin get better and more comfortable at finding those passing windows?
Then it could be, it's like, is he, you know, at the right depth that he needs to be at when he's throwing a pass? Because that could influence, again, whether or not a pass is batted down at the line of scrimmage. And when players are told not to go to the ground, right, there's a high emphasis, everyone kind of stay up. Hey, as a defensive lineman, put those hands up. See what can happen there, right? So, yeah, in training camp where there's still going to be that emphasis, people are not going to be – the coaches are not going to want these players on the ground, but it's going to happen. That's where you kind of want to see, too, if that continuation of bad down pass to the line of scrimmage, creating turnovers for the defense continues to happen. But, yeah, no, that's a good one there. Let's see. Any other –
the last one I see before we got here is just, I like this, Roquan Smith. Just talk about him. Very good linebacker, Roquan Smith. Should be a good fit in this defense. I think part of the reason why we haven't talked about him a lot is because he's one of the few players on the team where you kind of know exactly what he is, what he's doing. He should be good. I think the conversation with Roquan isn't so much of, you know, how he fits into this whole thing is, you know, does he get that contract extension? You know, so that'll be a story going forward. But right now, I mean, there's not much to say about Roquan Smith other than he flies around the field and still really good player.
And Eberflus talked about him like he's one of the building blocks for his defense, right? How he can help kind of teach this defense to the other guys. But, yeah, it was kind of a short-winded answer because, like us, like we know what Roquan Smith's about. He's going to get the job done and be very productive. But I see Jonathan wants to know about Jack Sanborn there, Adam.
Yeah, Jack seemed to miss some time in OTAs a little bit, but he was back out there this week, and I didn't necessarily notice anything significant out of him this week other than I still think he is a guy that has a very, very, very good chance of making the 53 because I think he'll instantly be a good special teamer and could push for that Sam linebacker spot as well. And I think to me that's going to be between him and Matthew Adams most likely.
Yeah. And I see this too real quickly. Ben's place, what is wrong with our first pick, Kyler Gordon? He hasn't practiced. What this the last 3 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he wasn't practicing last week either.
So, I don't know. He's got, what, 5 weeks? Yeah. We'll see, but I'm not going to jump to any conclusions yet on Kyler Gordon. But, yeah, so Ben's place, not too much of an update on what his status is, but Eberflus didn't seem too concerned about it when he was asked about Kyler Gordon. So I guess we got to take his word for it as it is, and we'll see what happens come training camp.
Yeah. So it is – someone's asking about the schedule, too. It is pretty much 5 weeks. So 5 weeks off. The rookies report on the 22nd, I believe. So they get a few extra days, like that weekend, because that's a Friday at Halas Hall. And then the vets – Matt Eberflus said today that the vets will report on the 26th. Kind of knew it would be the 26th or 27th there. So that's the 26th. And I'm – we'll see when they said they'd give us the practice schedule next week, but between then and now, because we won't be allowed in there, I don't think, when the rookies are. We haven't in the past. So it's, you know, between now and July 26th, most likely, there's not going to be much. There's not going to be any practices. There's not going to be any availability. It's going to be quiet. And we are still going to be here doing shows for you to talk about your Bears. So plenty more time to ask and answer questions. Trust me, we'll probably do this a lot. Throughout the next couple. We're going to start to preview the schedule and a lot more players. We'll bring back the grades that we have been doing. We took a break from that the last 3 days because of minicamp. But again, tomorrow we'll have another player grade. So we got a lot more for you as we continue to break down this roster. We'll continue to play Bear or Not a Bear too, so we can all learn the roster together. That way, when training camp comes, we can get it out. What we should be doing, what you and I should be doing, the fans probably don't need to worry about this as much, but just make sure as we do Bear or Not a Bear, like, we should know that CJ Avery, right, has Chris Conte's old number 47. You know, and make that kind of number name association drilled in our head, so that when camp comes, we're not just constantly looking at the roster, because it's wasted time. We don't have time for that in training camp. There's too many plays. No. There's too many reps. There's too much to see.
Gotta have your head on a swivel. Yep, exactly.
All right, we're out of here. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Adam Hogue. He's at Nicholas Moriano. Follow CHGO at CHGO _sports_bears_ pretty much any team. That's all there for you. We have a lot of accounts for you, and we appreciate you jumping on the bandwagon. Check out those memberships at allchgo.com. Get Nick's practice report. I will have a Bears Things column up for you by the end of the week to kind of wrap this whole thing up, and we'll have that for you at allchgo.com. Back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.